This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
From the birthplace of radio's greatest era, live from New York, it's Radio Night Live with Kevin McCullough.
Kevin McCullough, let me start with you.
Huh? The big dog, Kevin McCullough.
Who? Kevin McCullough.
No, who?
Nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
Who? Kevin McCullough?
Kevin McCullough is a nationally syndicated radio host and author of No, He Can't.
What?
And CEO of Extreme Media. All right, Kevin McCullough, very glad to welcome you to a very special retrospective of 9/11, 20 years since commemorating the horrific attacks, the darkest hour of New York City's history, when more than 2,000 of our own citizens were crushed under the falling towers caused by planes that were used as weapons, caused by a lag in security that allowed people to plot and plan and to take our nation down. Or so they hoped. 20 years later, here we are observing that commemoration. And we turn now to the man who would like to be the next governor of New York State. The last Republican governor that New York State had was, in fact, George Pataki, the man that was governor on the day of 9/11. But Lee Zeldin would like to change that, and he currently serves as the proud congressional representative of New York's first congressional district, which I did not know until reading through your bio once again, Lee, today, that before you had ever even been elected, you had resolved some 15,000 cases in court of your constituents. So no wonder your constituents love you so much. You have been fighting for them in the courtroom, but prior to that, you fought for them on the battlefield. And I've never asked you this, Lee, and you've been on my show a bunch of times. We've never had the opportunity to talk about it before. But where were you on 9/11, and did that inform some of your reasons for joining the armed forces?
Well, Kevin, I signed up for the Army ROTC in 1998 as soon as I got to college. That was one thing that I knew going to college. I wanted to find out how to sign up and to do that right away, priority number one. So I was joining the Army. That decision was made on September 11, 2001. I was signed up already. The hardest part afterwards was I couldn't get onto active duty fast enough. I wasn't commissioned until May of 2003, and I was so anxious to get onto active duty. And for so many Americans, they woke up the day after 9/11, and even if they were successful business people, they had families, they had jobs. So many Americans all across this country went to their local recruiter, signed up, and went overseas. I'm 41 years old. In many respects, I feel like my life has been separated into two parts, before 9/11 and after 9/11. I vividly remember where I was that day, how I felt. We all do. And there are many people, some are serving right now in our military, who have no memory of September 11, 2001. My daughters weren't born for five more years, so it's important for us to tell the story to them, to answer their questions, because they have questions. I was in Albany Law School at the time. There was a woman who came into the classroom, calling for a friend of hers in the class, and a few moments later, when they were just outside of the classroom, we heard the most harrowing scream I've ever heard in my life, and that's how this experience started. And I watched the events of that morning unfold from there on TV, and it changed my life, all of our lives, our community, state, country. It changed the world.
You were already serving, but you said you couldn't get on the battlefield fast enough. You know, for 20 years we fought in Afghanistan to keep the terrorists occupied elsewhere so that they weren't active here. And I know that some people feel like that maybe that was a bad strategy. I never felt it was. When President Bush explained that it made sense to fight them over there so that they weren't free to come here, that always just made common sense to me as an American citizen. But let's talk about the war on terror. Generally speaking, we did wake up to a new reality. Terrorism is a real thing. There are people plotting truly evil things against us. You've served in Congress. You've served on committees that have looked at our national security. You have had security clearances. You've been able to see some of the things that the average citizens have not. What kind of progress did we make in the 2-decade-long war on terror?
Well, we delivered justice to Osama bin Laden up close and personally. We dismantled al-Qaeda in many respects. When ISIS emerged and they established the caliphate, we eliminated it. We were fighting terrorist threats overseas instead of having to fight them here at home. And sometimes we might decide that we are done with all military conflict, but that threat that we face hasn't yet decided that they're done with us. So that reality, to your point, is something that we should take to heart, that we were fighting battles overseas instead of having to fight them here in the U.S., and al-Qaeda certainly would be far stronger if not for our involvement successfully in taking them on. The ISIS caliphate right now, if we didn't end up re-escalating our activity in Iraq the way that we did when we did, and Syria too, that caliphate would be strong and growing stronger, and they'd be looking to expand with more money, territory, equipment. So it is good that we have had the accomplishments that we have had. It's been with great sacrifice, loss of life, loss of limb. It's been a great cost financially for our country, and we still have to this day countries as adversaries. We have terrorist groups as adversaries, so we have to remain vigilant. We can never get so exhausted with confronting threats that they end up becoming emboldened, empowered. They go more on offense, they fill more vacuums, and then we're actually facing more of a threat tomorrow than we are today.
Congressman, I hate to say this because you just laid that out so beautifully, but it feels like with the events of the last 2 weeks and with the complete, utter, and total surrender of the initiatives that were being put in place to try to exit Afghanistan, but with certain conditions being met, it feels like everything you just said we can have happen is in the process of happening before our very eyes. You want to be governor of New York State. You're going to be, if you're successful, you're going to be working with an administration on the federal level that does not appear to have Americans' backs, not in Afghanistan, certainly, and doesn't appear to have the American people's back domestically when you have a wide-open border and you don't know who's coming across, and you've got, in essence, an open-for-business sign to terrorists to say, come and try your best. We're not really paying attention. Your thoughts on where we are, you know, presently situated and what we're facing.
The bad news is that the vulnerability is very real at the highest levels of our government, and that includes President Biden. There was a point where I was getting increasingly frustrated with him, thinking to myself, gosh, this really needs to be keeping him up at keeping him awake at night. What's going on? How is this not? And what made it even worse was realizing I don't even think this is keeping him awake during the day. And now, at the highest levels of his administration, there is an incompetency. Fortunately for our country, there is also rank and file across the different agencies filled with amazing men and women who are well-trained, they are ready, they are focused and selfless and patriotic and smart, skilled, and courageous. So that talent is still there right now in our government. Unfortunately, there is a vulnerability at the highest level that North Korea, Iran, China, Russia, Hamas, Hezbollah, Al-Qaeda, Taliban, ISIS, that list goes on. They see the vulnerability. They push further to try to fill up that vacuum as aggressors. And I don't believe that right now that we have a president of the United States who is up to the task of confronting these adversaries. I don't think he knows how to. I think he's surrounded by some key people who don't know how to. They also jammed up our allies by not communicating with them. The arbitrary August 31st deadline meant that these other countries were dealt with a deadline before August 31st, because they can't control Kabul airport under those circumstances by themselves, so they had to evacuate as many as they could of their citizens earlier than August.
Congressman Lee Zeldin, well said. Best wishes on your push for governor. Thank you for sharing your stories with us today. We're grateful.
You got it. Have a good day.
Kevin McCullough coming right back with our 20th commemoration retrospective of 9/11, special edition of Kevin McCullough Radio. Don't go away. Hi, Kevin McCullough. You've heard us talk about the amazing offer that MyPillow is offering you right now, right? Only $34.99 a pillow. That's the lowest price ever offered on radio TV. When you get a two-pack of MyPillow Premiums for only $69.98, ever since I've been sleeping on my MyPillow, I don't get interrupted sleep anymore. I don't have to worry about folding my pillow in half or stacking up a whole bunch of lifeless pillows underneath it to give me the right support. Comes with a 60-day money-back guarantee and a 10-year warranty, and it's made in the USA. Do you have a pillow that comes with a 10-year warranty? Get a two-pack of MyPillow Premiums for $69.98 right now. That's only $34.99 per pillow, which, again, is the lowest price ever offered on radio or TV. This offer is only available at MyPillow.com or when you call 800-506-2641. That's 800-506-2641. Promo code KMC. 800-506-2641. And use the promo code KMC. Hi, Kevin McCullough. I've got the absolute day from you know where today. I've got to be going from early this morning until late tonight, and I was up fretting about it at 3 a.m. Like, that's how busy my day is today. But I gotta tell you, I'm not too worried about, getting sick, and I used to get sick regularly when I would overdo it on schedule and stress. Part of the reason, the main reason, is because I know I'm getting the right nutrition. See, I take Balance of Nature, and that means 10 servings of 31 different fruits and veggies in 3 little fruit and 3 little vegetable capsules every single day. Fruits and veggies have changed my life. My skin looks better, I've got tons of energy, and I don't get sick anymore. It's time to improve the quality of your life. For a limited time, I've got a great offer for you. 25% off plus free shipping. That's 25% off plus free shipping. But you got to call now. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751. Or just online at balanceofnature.com. The discount code KMC.
Complement your health with hemp-derived cannabinoid oil. We've always believed that the closer to Earth, the better it is for our bodies. Our hemp-derived cannabinoid oil is phytocannabinoid-rich, full-spectrum, and organically grown. Finally, hemp made easy, clean, and effective. GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203. That's right, we cut through the red tape. It's now available at GCNHemp.com or call 877-878-4203.
All right, crew, let's get her dug.
Honey, you want to give me a hand? I'm planting that tree, remember?
No matter how large or small your digging project may be, no matter how urban or rural, you must always call 811 before any digging project. 811 is our national one-call number, alerting your local utility companies to come out and mark any lines they have near your dig site. You must call 811 at least 2 to 3 business days before any digging project so you can avoid hitting our essential buried utilities. This includes natural gas and petroleum pipelines, electric, communication cables, and water and sewer lines. So before you do this or this, make sure you do this. For digging projects big or small, make the call to 811. Brought to you by Common Ground Alliance.
We've all seen and perhaps use the alcohol-based hand sanitizers.
Have you noticed how it dries your skin, and as soon as the alcohol evaporates, it's no longer effective? GCNteam.com has alcohol-free antibacterial soap and foam, meeting or exceeding all requirements set forth by the United States Food and Drug Administration. Come to GCNteam.com, keyword antibacterial, or call 877-878-4203.
From New York, back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
And welcome into Radio Night Live. Kevin McCullough, glad to have you with us on this 20th commemoration of 9/11. We have heard from a lot of people tonight, but I wanted to bring you some highlights of a very special conversation that myself and New York-based billionaire John Katsimatidis had a chance to engage in not long ago. It is not often that you can bring together former Governor Pataki and former Mayor Rudolph Giuliani around the same table. They're very busy men doing very important things. But we did have the chance to get everyone around the table not long ago to have a reflection on what happened on 9/11. And I thought it would be good if you could hear some of those highlights even now. I start this section with a very pointed question to both of them. Mayor, it's Kevin McCullough joining John at the table. Also, Governor Pataki is with us, and John Cahill is also with us, just so you know you're in good company here. I wanted to ask you and the governor both this question. In the aftermath, you guys attended thousands upon thousands of funerals, and you made it a point to go to every single one, particularly of your first responders. And I'm just curious, how did you manage to keep your emotional equilibrium going through that mourning process with family after family after family and not become numbed or in some way, you know, deadened to it? But Governor or Mayor, either one of you, take the first one.
Well, from my standpoint, we made an enormous effort, the whole administration, to make sure that we had representation at every funeral. And it was very emotional. Rudy and I had both been to police funerals, and those are very emotional. And here you had so many young people with young families, kids who couldn't understand what was happening, who had just died. But to me, I took inspiration from the families. You know, for all the emotion we would feel, just imagine what someone who was a widow or a widower who lost, or a child who lost their parent, what they were feeling. Right. And their strength couldn't help but inspire us. Hmm. And to me, you know, that was always what I would rely on, was the strength of the families to help me stay strong.
Mayor?
Yeah, I think the governor is right. The reality is that I couldn't go to every funeral. I tried to go as many as possible. I sent representatives to some funerals, with deputy mayor or corporation council, some of the other very high-level officials. Actually, I think the governor will recall that Governor Perry helped us and went to some funerals for us, which I thought was a wonderful thing for him to do. Mayor Koch may have also done it. I think he did. But I think that the governor and I tried to go to as many as possible. Then sometimes you'd be scheduled to go to a funeral and there'd be some terrible thing that happened, you know, something you had to give your attention to. But I felt very bad that I couldn't go to every single one, because up until that time, you know, there had been 26 police officers and 24 firefighters who died while I was mayor. And I was able to go to everyone. And it really means something to the families to have the mayor or the governor.
Sure.
And all those police officers or firefighters there. It helps.
Mayor, what did we not know as citizens of the country in the immediate days afterwards in terms of how vulnerable New York was? Did we fear that they had not finished their work and they were still coming after us?
Sure, I don't really know when. Well, yes, the answer is yes. Everybody feared there'd be further attacks. I mean, the thing that people don't realize, I think, now when you look back on it, we know it was four attacks. We know where they happened. We know the precise number of people who died. But as you're going through it, how do you know whether it was two attacks or three or four or 10 or 15, or whether it would be followed by smaller attacks? I know. But Police Commissioner Bernie Carrick was very afraid that there would be a large number of smaller attacks in the ensuing days because the city was so vulnerable. I mean, and the state, we had all our resources kind of tied up in this. So that was a fear that lasted for some time. I can't remember how long. A couple of months, I guess. There were gunboats in the river. There were soldiers on the streets. And there were 500 Chicago police officers who came to help us. And probably some from Florida, too, if I recall.
Now, how I asked Governor Pataki before, how often did you talk to President Bush or Vice President Cheney at that time?
We spoke to President Bush a lot, both together and alone. And the governor and I, for the first month or month and a half, which I think I tell people is the best thing you can do in an emergency like this, the governor and I were virtually, you know, together on everything, on every important decision. And our staff sat down on the same table, which I really commend the governor for, because when I was in New York, he had to bring them to New York. And I think that counts for a lot of decisions getting made that necessarily would have been, you know, bureaucratic. You'd gone through, you'd have to go to Albany and come back to New York and go to Washington. But we had at the table all the people that could make the decision immediately, including Governor, including FEMA. And the president gave us all these people. So I think that helped a lot, helps to get things done more efficiently.
Well, Rudy, thank you for those kind words. And I do think the fact that we were all in the same room at the same table for weeks really helped make it as strong a response as possible. And your team did just a tremendous job. And I'm proud of all of mine. And Randy Daniels was here, and he was the guy at the table when we were out doing other things. And I just remember so well the back and forth, you on one side with your people, me on the other side with my people. All right, the city's going to do this, the state's going to do that, the feds will do something else. And there was never a miscommunication. And, you know, those were horribly trying times. But the response, I think, was one that you would hope to see whenever there's a need for an emergency reaction like that.
Yeah, I think that that's absolutely true, Governor. I think that our staffs all performed way beyond what anybody would have anticipated. And they all seemed to be totally overwhelmed by how important it was. And there was no time for any kind of, you know, fiction, or everybody was on the same team. Same effort. And I think that, you being the governor, you had a lot to do with that.
Well, Rudy, I remember that morning. You and I had talked early on before the towers came down. And then when the towers came down, I was going, oh, my God, you know, what has happened here? How many wonderful people have lost their lives? And what happened to you? And, you know, I couldn't reach you for quite some time. I remember talking to Rudy Washington and Rudy Washington saying how, you know, he was working to make sure the response was as strong as possible. And that.
As strong as possible, indeed. Governor George Pataki, Mayor Rudy Giuliani on some of the immediate aftermath of 9/11 and what happened, and as they continued to coordinate some of the continued response. And, of course, New York City did and has come back on more than one occasion now that we're facing the return after pandemic. But it really symbolized what all of America was dealing with at that time. When we come back, a couple of more memories of what exactly happened on that day and why it's so important. We'll hear more from Governor George Pataki, former Mayor Rudy Giuliani, in a conversation with yours truly, Kevin McCullough, and New York's first citizen, John Katsimatidis, as we continue here on this very special edition of Radio Night Live. Don't go away.
Thank you for listening to GCN. Be sure to visit GCNLive.com today.
USA Radio News with Wendy King.
In a video posted on Twitter, President Biden is reflecting on the 20th anniversary of 9/11.
Unity doesn't mean we have to believe the same thing. We must have a fundamental respect and faith in each other and in this nation. We are unique in the history of the world because we're the only nation based on an idea an idea that everyone is created equal.
President Biden and former Presidents Obama and Clinton attended the ceremony at the National 9/11 Monument in New York City. President Biden also visited the Flight 93 Memorial near Shanksville, Pennsylvania. Vice President Harris spoke there.
If we remain united in purpose, we will be prepared for whatever comes next.
Former President Trump spoke in New York at a firehouse and a police station. This is USA Radio News.
Angie's List is now Angie, and getting your to-do list done just got easier. Between back to school and with the holidays around the corner, it can feel like there's no time to tackle home projects. Whether you need help with emergency repairs or major upgrades, Angie matches you with top local pros who can get the job done right. Browse reviews, see upfront pricing, and instantly book hundreds of projects. Save time for what matters most. Book your next project at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I.com.
Oh, whale! Guys, whale! Wow, whale.
Oh, that's a big whale. Okay. Whale, whale, whale! Oh, no! Whale!
The tides can turn quick on the water. Progressive's boat insurance has you covered. Get a quote today in as little as 3 minutes at progressive.com.
Well, at least it wasn't a shark, am I right?
Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Do you have a home that you don't want anymore? We can buy it from you within 24 hours, any home, size, or condition. For over 20 years, we've been buying homes for cash and helping homeowners sell their homes immediately with no listings or strangers walking through your home. Are you moving? Did you lose your job? Going through a divorce? Whatever the reason, if you're in a bind and you know that you need to sell your house fast, call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. We'll make you a serious cash offer to buy your home in 24 hours and let you walk away from it. No listing, no waiting. Sell any home, any size, any condition, now. Call the expert team at I Need to Sell My House Fast. Make this free call now.
800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. 800-475-0092. That's 800-475-0092.
Stop aging now. Restore those joints. Boost your strength. Because it's official. NutriMedical has released the most exciting, powerful anti-aging supplement on the market. Dr. Bill Deagle's Red Deer Velvet DR has been approved by the U.S. Patent Office. Imagine stem cell rejuvenation all in one capsule without huge expense. Dr. Bill MD discovered that as an unborn baby grows in the mother's womb, he or she does not deteriorate or physically age. Red Deer Velvet DR, like the uterus, provides 300 biomolecules and 6 hormones protected in one special DR capsule that delivers lipid packages directly into your circulation. This patented technology bypasses the stomach and is released into the small bowel unaltered by digestive enzymes and stomach acid. Remember, Red Deer Velvet DR. Improve endurance, stimulate your immune system, increase learning ability, and even improve sexual libido with Red Deer Velvet DR. Click NutriMedical.com. That's NutriMedical.com. Or call toll-free 888-212-8871 and get on the road to a newer, rejuvenated, happier you.
Back to Radio Night Live. Here's Kevin McCullough.
Very glad to have you back with us at Radio Night Live on this 20th commemoration of one of our darkest days in American history. As I made mention last segment, Kevin McCullough, glad to be with you. We've still got a very special musical guest tonight, Michael W. Smith. And There She Stands, a very special song coming up. But I want to revisit a very rare opportunity that John Catsimatidis, New York's most beloved billionaire and kind of first citizen of New York City, and myself had a chance to engage with former Governor George Pataki and former Mayor Rudy Giuliani surrounding their memories of 9/11. And I put this question to Governor Pataki. In the immediate aftermath, Governor, it was one of those situations where confusion on the ground kind of reigned supreme. I mean, and I've talked to a lot of people that were in different locales of the city. How did you get your crew organized and centralized so quickly?
Well, I happened to be in the city that night, so I was in the city and immediately said, all right, I'm going to go to my office, which was in Midtown, and our team would meet in Midtown. And then in Albany, we have an emergency command center. And I had already called them, and they were activating the National Guard, the state police, the support for the firefighters from all over the state, and everything else that needed to be done. So we were able to quickly begin to take action. But I have to tell you, I went to my office. It's the only time in 12 years where I overruled my security detail. They would tell me, well, you can't go here, or we want you to go there, and I'd always just, without asking, say, okay, they know something I don't. This time, they said, you got to go back to Albany, to the command center. And I thought for a minute and then said, no, I have to be in the city, so yeah. I didn't go.
At what point were you able to talk to the White House?
Yeah. John, I called Rudy right away, and we talked. This was before the towers came down, and he was still with his team near Ground Zero. And then I called President Bush, and I got a hold of him outside the school in Florida where he was talking. And we talked about things, shutting down the airspace and other things. And then during the course of the day, as he flew in Air Force One, I was able to talk to him a few more times. And then later on that afternoon, when Rudy got out from under the rubble where he was, as Randy Daniels knows, he set up a temporary command center in the old police academy, and we talked and then coordinated our results from there.
Wasn't there a command center at 7 World Trade Center?
There was, and that was destroyed when the towers came down, and ultimately 7 World Trade Center came down as well. So during this time, I was communicating with Deputy Mayor Washington, who was coordinating the city's response while Rudy was not able to be in contact. And then earlier that afternoon, maybe 1:30, I got a call from Rudy that he was okay, and they had moved and relocated a temporary command center at the old police academy. And Randy Daniels was there with me and others, and I thought for a minute, and this I think is one of the most important decisions I made the whole way through. I said, I'll be right down with my whole team. And instead of my having a command center and Rudy having a command center, and when the feds came in, the feds having a command center, we were all in the same room, all around the same big table with the city, all the relevant city officials on one side, all the state officials on the other side. And then later that night, FEMA came in and they sat at the same table. So you think back at something like Katrina, where the state is blaming the city is blaming right. The feds, you know, and they're all pointing fingers at each other. We had none of that. Everyone knew from that afternoon, this is the responsibility of the city, this is the responsibility of the state, this is what the feds will take care of. And while we were going around doing it, I think Randy was the point guy who was in that room night and day for weeks.
Governor, I got a question. When the planes hit, was there an immediate thought that the buildings were vulnerable and that they would down?
That was the biggest shock to me. You know, obviously the fact of the attack was an enormous shock. But I don't think anyone, I know I certainly never had any thought that the towers could come down themselves. The thought was, what's going to happen to the poor people above where the planes hit?
Right.
Never that people below that were at risk because the towers would collapse. And the most horrifying image in my mind 18 years later of that date is watching that first tower come down and just thinking, oh, my God, how many poor, innocent, good people just got killed.
Yeah.
At the first number I remember, people thought it was like 10,000.
Yeah. Well, there are so many people who work in that building. If it had been a half hour later, it probably would have been thousands more. But there was no silver lining to that day. But the only thing that limited the damage was the fact that it occurred before most of the people had gotten to work.
Governor Pataki remembering not only his reaction to the scenes that we were all watching, but his own experiences there. Kevin McCullough, our 20th commemoration of 9/11 continues here on this special edition of Radio Night Live. Please don't go anywhere.
The final phase of extermination is set to commence now, and as population die-off becomes evident, you know it is the time of punishment in all that is written. The cover for mass die-off is evolution and global warming frauds, also used as false proof of their Christ. They are from the lines that were disinherited 2,000 years ago. Now they claim to be his Christ based upon blood type, DNA, and long lifespan. Go to unveilingthem.com. That's UNVEILINGthem.com.
What if you could cut your heating bills this winter with your existing wood-burning fireplace and not spend thousands doing it? You can with Great Wall of Fire Fireplace Grates. Our U.S.-patented, made-in-America Wall of Fire Grates increase fireplace efficiency, eliminate fireplace smoke problems, and come with a 30-day money-back guarantee. See our grates in action and get free shipping from walloffire.com or call 800-274-7364. Fireplace heat without fireplace smoke. Walloffire.com.
We've entered a time where sky truly is the limit and opportunity awaits. The Internet has become a platform of everyone's worldwide communications. Billionaires building businesses on platforms that didn't even exist a generation ago. But in the sea of noise, how can the voice of your business be heard? The secret is over 100 years old. Radio, 228% more effective than TV. That's 228% more effective than television. Brick and mortar and cyber businesses alike have found radio to be the most effective for building a brand and delivering customers. Learn the secrets of radio advertising by calling 877-996-4327 or email advertise@gcnlive.com. That's advertise@gcnlive.com.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Extend your life with
Extendovite. Extendovite really works. Here are some reviews from Amazon.com. John Hess, 5 out of 5 stars. Awesome. Probably my only review, but at age 40, I was getting bad heart throb and left arm pain, mainly before bed. I even stopped smoking and drinking sodas for a month, and that didn't work. After one day of taking Extendivite, it was gone and hasn't returned in 3 years. I've ordered Extendivite 13 times, so Amazon just said. Juliet Hordick. I've ordered this product before in liquid form. It is fantastic. My whole family's been on it. To order, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Radio Night Live. Once again, Kevin McCullough.
And welcome back to Radio Night Live on this 20th commemoration of those attacks 20 years ago today. Yet to come, Michael W. Smith and the song There She Stands. But first, we revisit a very private and intimate discussion with Mayor Rudy Giuliani and Governor George Pataki on the dates and the events of that historic day. We are so honored to have everybody around the table. But Mayor and Governor, before the break, I mentioned we've come 18 years. It's 18 years hence. And Mayor, you've seen several administrations come and go since your departure, at least a couple. Governor, you've had a few replacements take your spot since then. How would you grade where we are in terms of preparedness as a state, as a city, as a nation to be able to respond to what may be the next attack around the corner? Mayor, let's start with you.
Well, I think that the country as a whole over the years has become much more expert, much bigger response to terrorism. I mean, you have a Department of Homeland Security. I just spent the last couple of days with some of the people from the Counterterrorism Bureau of the Police Department. When I was there, maybe there were 500, now there were 2,000. And they're from, I mean, we established it in the wake of 1993 and the Emergency Management Office. But then after the attack, Mayor Bloomberg expanded it dramatically with Ray Kelly, and they're about the best in the country. So I would say, given the fact that it's still the number one target, and therefore you never want to say anything that lets down your guard, I think they're about as well prepared as they can be. I'm sure there are gaps, but I'm not going to indicate what those are. But given the reality of what's going on in the rest of the country, this city has, I believe, the best anti-terrorism operation from the point of view of intelligence, technology, trained people, numbers of people. That, you know, that it was there before, but it certainly wasn't in that degree.
Mayor, let me follow up on that real quickly, because San Francisco and I believe Portland and I believe Los Angeles have all decided to withdraw from the Joint Terrorism Task Force. And I know that your commissioner from that from those days, Commissioner Carrick, was kind of key to helping understand how the feds working on terrorism issues combining with the local police forces can make a difference. But if these large cities in some of these sanctuary areas decide to withdraw from the program, does that, in your mind, make cities like New York vulnerable, given who could travel here from any point once they get into the homeland?
Can't imagine any reason why a city would want to withdraw from the Joint Terrorism Task Force. I mean, if you think about it, terrorism it requires more than almost any other crime. I mean, organized crime, I guess drug dealing requires it too. But it requires very, very close cooperation between the federal government, state government, the city government. The terrorists are from abroad. The New York City Police Department is the only one that probably has a little bit of an intelligence operation abroad. The ones in those other cities don't. But that's nothing compared to what the FBI, the CIA, the NSA, and then all the other, you know, alphabet organizations that gather intelligence all over the world get, or satellites. Well, you're cutting yourself off from that. You're literally, I mean, leaving the Joint Terrorism Task Force would seem to be pretty close to insane if you're a mayor. Where do you think you're going to get the intelligence about what's going on in Afghanistan or how they're planning something in Iran? From the Los Angeles PD? Now, they need us because we know the streets. So, you know, you can say, you know, we need them because they know the world. But, you know, the biggest problem with Fed usually is they don't know where Market Street is, you know, somewhere, or they pronounce Houston Street Houston and get lost. So you need to work together. You know, you need. Plus, it doesn't go. The Joint Terrorism Task Force goes back to the 1970s. It goes back to the Cuban terrorist organization that was bombing New York and the Black Panthers, and that's when they first came up with it. I'm flabbergasted that they would that you want to pull out of it. It's nothing political about it at all. It's just fundamentally good law enforcement.
Governor, same questions to you. Where are we at 18 years later?
Well, the word I was going to use when you were talking about cities withdrawing from the Joint Terrorism Task Force is the one that Rudy almost used. It's insanity. It makes utterly no sense. The number one obligation of government is to provide for the protection of the people you lead. And when you deny yourself access to very important intelligence about possible threats against the people in your city or your community, you are basically derelict of duty, because that obligation to protect the people comes ahead of everything else. And, you know, political correctness drives me nuts. But the idea that people would risk the lives of millions of the people they're supposed to be leading because of absurd political correctness just is virtually insane. And I would hope that from the experience we had on September 11th, from the fact that there are still those out there, both here and certainly abroad, who would love nothing better than to carry out another attack, that they would rethink this and say, oh, you know, this was a stupid decision.
Governor, while we were on a break, an interesting thing came up. And you said, do you know why it's no longer called the Freedom Towers? And why is it no longer called the Freedom Towers?
Well, it was the Freedom Tower because when the Libeskind Master Site Plan was adopted, it's 1,776 feet tall. And the symbolism of that was absolutely essential. That is the year we declared our independence and our freedom from England. And so that was always the case. And then as the buildings went up, there was a tenant, a company, that was prepared to take a number of amount of space in the Freedom Tower, but they were a Chinese company from mainland China, and they would not move into a building called the Freedom Tower. So the powers that be at the time, this was after I had left office, decided that having this Chinese company was more important than continuing to hold on to the symbolic importance of our freedom.
Doesn't that sound like the woke nonsense that we're dealing with now in the 20th year after 9/11? Kevin McCullough, I hope that these conversations have been enlightening to you in terms of not only what happened 20 years ago, but where we are today. When we come back, we will round out our 20th retrospective of the commemoration of the attacks of 9/11. Michael W. Smith, musician from the Nashville area, penned a very moving song about America's resiliency called There She Stands. And he does it for us next when we conclude Radio Night Live. Hi, Kevin McCullough. I've got the absolute day from you know where today. I've got to be going from early this morning until late tonight, and I was up fretting about it at 3 a.m. Like that's how busy my day is today. But I got to tell you, I'm not too worried about getting sick. And I used to get sick regularly when I would overdo it on schedule and stress. Part of the reason, the main reason, is because I know I'm getting the right nutrition. See, I take Balance of Nature, and that means 10 servings of 31 different fruits and veggies in 3 little fruit and 3 little vegetable capsules every single day. Fruits and veggies have changed my life. My skin looks better, I've got tons of energy, and I don't get sick anymore. It's time to improve the quality of your life. For a limited time, I've got a great offer for you. 25% off, plus free shipping. That's 25% off, plus free shipping. But you got to call now. Call 800-246-8751. That's 800-246-8751. 800-246-8751. Or just online at balanceofnature.com. The discount code, KMC.
Have you ever thought about turning your Glock, XD family, or 1911 handgun into a semi-automatic carbine? It only takes about 30 seconds. The MechTech Carbine Upper is classified as an accessory and can be delivered right to your doorstep with no FFL or background check required. It's the world's most versatile pistol accessory. Build your custom upper today. Simply go to handgunconversion.com. That's handgunconversion.com.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, veterinarian and naturopathic physician. The Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy with an important message. Take charge of your health. Do not continue to blindly follow the system that has failed us all. I appreciate GCN listeners because you're open-minded and intelligent. If our system is so great, why is it that the United States, the USA, ranks nearly 60th worldwide in longevity and number one in obesity? All the while we spend more money than all the other countries combined annually on unnecessary health care procedures and toxic drugs. It doesn't take much to get on track. Not with the government or pharmaceutical companies, but rather you in control of your own health with a basic understanding of nutrition and supplementation. FDI Longevity has the finest quality health, sports, and energy supplements available. GCN listeners are invited to join our team of people who want to stay healthy well into old age. We are currently looking for specialists to represent FDI Longevity and Save America. To buy products at wholesale prices or join our business team, go to GCNteam.com. That's GCNteam.com. Support GCN. Get healthy.
Blue Star medicated ointment works fast to relieve the pain and itch of almost any skin irritation.
It's amazing. It's like as soon as you put it on, you can feel it working.
We've had Blue Star in the family for years. It works on everything.
I love the cooling sensation on my athlete's foot.
What a relief for my eczema.
Nothing worked on my dry, cracked skin until I tried Blue Star.
Blue Star is great for scalp itch.
Look for the white box with the Blue Star in the first aid section. Feel Blue Star work fast or your money back.
Ladies and gentlemen, here to close out our 9/11 retrospective, Michael W. Smith.
When the night seems to stay almost lost, gone away, but I know I'm not alone. By the light she stands.
Sit behind a desk every day to earn a living. You're out and about making it happen. And sometimes you get a little bit behind on your paperwork, you know, like bookkeeping and paying your taxes. It's easy to get behind on paying your taxes. It happens to the best of us. And you know what happens next. The big bad IRS comes knocking on your door. And when that happens, you need to call the good old boys at the Tax Doctor. Let them do what they do best. Deal and negotiate with the IRS so you pay the lowest you can in back taxes that the law allows. We are a 100% U.S.-based company, and we've saved our clients millions over the years in back taxes. If you owe $10,000 or more in back taxes, call my friends right now at the Tax Doctor and learn more.
800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. 800-985-1610. That's 800-985-1610.